I'm going to give you anatomy and a geography lesson while you're turning to Psalm 119. So there's a lot of Michigan guys. This is Michigan. So you can get an understanding how it works. Well, you know, I Googled it, and they said, use your left hand. So Google said use left, so I'm going to show you. So this is the thumb. This is Traverse City up here. This is where the Mackinac Bridge is. So I am about right here. Brother Evans, I think he's the most northern Michigan guy here. He's about right there, Tawas. Now, Brother Gunther, he's about right about in here. And I believe Brother Reagan should be about right in, right about over here. So I was going to mark it on my hand. Thought it'd be easier. All right, so that's out of the way. Psalm 119, if you would. And we'll read a few verses and get into this, and I will do my best to keep you in check here for time. Psalm 119, verse 1, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Flip over now to verse 71. Verse 71. David said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Let's pray. Now, Father, we need to hear from you this morning, and we've heard multiple messages, Lord, and a lot of scripture has been put out, many illustrations, Lord, and burdens have been presented. And Lord, we need one more time for you to open our eyes to the Word, Lord, and show us some things from this book, Lord, that we've probably learned with our minds, but we've not applied it yet with our heart or illustrated it yet in our lives. I just pray, Lord, that you'd feed these people. Thank you for their graciousness. Appreciate the preacher allowing so many people to come and be here, and these folks, Lord, being able to help and take care of it. I ask this morning you take me and set me aside, wash me in the blood, hide me behind the cross. Pray that nothing comes out of my mouth that'd be a hindrance to the preaching of your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. You look at that passage there, and I don't know how many times I've read Psalm 119. You know, it's a favorite passage of Bible believers. We're King James Bible believers, right? We need the Word of God. We know that this book has an effect on us, and we spend time studying. As the preachers have already said this week, we don't have to put an emphasis generally upon study amongst our group, because we study. We rightly divide. We take time to learn about the great deeps, and we want to learn about the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament and the manifestation of the New Testament with Jesus Christ. We go through all those things and thank God for knowledge. And probably we don't have to lecture too much on reading the Bible in a King James Bible-believing group, but yet, I know you're not, to the extent you should. But I'll give you the benefit of the doubt because you read the Bible, and some of you take time to memorize the Bible, praise the Lord, and you know the stories, but you understand, with all of that being said, that's not learning the Bible. Learning the Bible comes through experience. Learning the Bible is taking all the things that we have read and studied and memorized and tried to take in, but yet there's a point where if you don't start applying it, you haven't learned anything. And that's the demise of Bible-believing churches. A lot of folks have knowledge, but they don't ever apply it to their life. And unfortunately, we're seeing our churches have struggles and people in our churches falling off the wayside. Men and women that know the Bible, but they've not taken time to learn it through affliction. to learn it through the things that they've gone through. You know, when you think about learning the Word of God, there's some things that it produces. We understand that. You know, it produces praise. You are more joyful. When you know the Word of God, there's something that comes out in your life that begins to give glory to the Lord. Last year, I do own a meat market, and last year with COVID and everything that took place, it was just crazy. Literally, you didn't know if you had product coming in. You didn't know if product was going to show up. It was just crazy. And in the midst of all of that, we had a fire at my store. Right during 4th of July, everything is just falling apart. It's just utter chaos. And it was amazing how the Lord took all of these things as they're coming together, and I'm able to minister to these contractors that are coming in, expecting to deal with an irate, ornery, overstressed individual. And I'm just letting the Lord give me some peace through these things. I'm able to praise him. I'm able to give him some testimonies. And I'm talking to these guys, and I'm explaining to them how throughout COVID, the Lord had just always kept us about 2 weeks ahead of time. We never had an empty shelf. Our sales were 3 and 4 times what they've ever been. And every time I got a chance to tell someone about what the Lord did, I was learning something about what he had instilled in me. Because though there was stress, and though there were fires, and though there were problems, praise was coming because I had to go through those things, and I had a testimony that was a result of learning something. You can go on and you get peace as you learn the Word of God, and of course, you get the patience. And the patience doesn't come without the tribulation. And you have to have the tribulation, you have to have the trouble, but you know, once you've gone through and you've gotten some of that patience, what comes next is some power. We need power. We need God to be on us when we don't feel like God is on us. Any preacher that's been in here has been times in their ministry where they felt that, you know what, I just can't go on, and yet the Lord gives you just enough to go forward. In my case, it's never been more. It's never been an excessive amount. It's been just enough to get me through the day. Matter of fact, it was just enough to get me through a week. It was just enough to get me through a year. Literally, after pastoring in the same place for 30 years, I truly didn't get to see God's hand to really move until 5 years ago. 25 years in it, I've got a bunch of young folks that are coming up, some of them saying this week, and usually I have more that travel with me, and it took 25 years for me to see something, and my church is still small, but I've been watching the Lord do some things, and what that did is it gave me some power because I was able to learn that going through some things was going to produce something. Now, had you told me that 30 years ago, you know, when you have visions of grandeur as a young preacher, you're thinking you're going to change the world. Street preach in the same town for 30 years, certainly you'll have results. No results. Door knocking in the same town over and over, year after year, no results. No results. And we still do it. I think the Lord just sits up there and thinks these people are just nuts. They have done the same thing for 30 years, and they have produced absolutely nothing. I am a businessman, and I know this. If it don't work after about 2 months, we quit doing it. Because it's not beneficial. Why would I waste my money investing in something if it's not producing something? But God's work is different. It produces things through trials, through troubles, and that power comes, and next comes persistence. Young man, you need persistence. It's going to take some effort for you to just stick through it. I couldn't tell you how many times I've quit. Just last year, I quit. It was so bad, I didn't come to church Sunday night. I told my wife, I'm quitting. I'm done. I got a good wife. She said, you can't quit. I said, I'm quitting. And I didn't go to church. She said, are you going to church? I said, no, I'm not going to church. You go to church. I got an associate. That's what he's there for. He preaches when I don't want to go to church. I got people here that don't know this, you know. They're all saying, preacher, we're going to watch on YouTube. So, you know, so now I reveal myself. I quit. But then, you know, after Sunday night gets going and Monday, I'm kind of feeling a little better about quitting. But I thought, man, I got to get ready for Wednesday. And Laura says, you quit. Yeah, I know. Well, Wednesday rolled around and I sheepishly come to church. Nobody knew I quit. There was no resignation paper. They never knew. Now they know. And I took the paycheck after I quit too. But with that persistence comes some perspective. Well, I've got a different perspective. Because I've had to learn some things, just like this young brother preached. He's got some perspective now. You don't get perspective unless you go through some things. So I want to show you some things about what the Lord wants you to do. He wants you to learn some things. You need to grow. And the first thing there, and look down about verse 12. First thing I want to show you about learning is this, is it's personal. Personal. You know, the Lord has to teach you something. And we're not cookie cutter Christians. We're all different. There are things that you will go through, that I will go through, that some of the things are similar, but how we respond to them are different, and the way we react to them are completely different. Some people can handle things. Some people cannot. I have in my mind figured out that the Lord must think I can handle certain things. That's why he left me where he did. And the Lord puts other people in other places for a purpose because they need to learn something. Notice there in verse 12, he says, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. We need to learn what the Lord's teaching us. Have you had to retake a test? Boy, I don't like retaking the Lord's tests. There's things that since I've been saved, I've had to struggle with and deal with and sense of my character. Things about me that I know need to be changed. And the Lord puts me through the fire to show me that I need to fix this and I need to quit it. You need to stop it. And then we fail. And the Lord says, well, test is coming up. It's going to come again. Are you learning what the Lord's trying to teach you? Look at verse 162. Psalm 119, just the book, trying to show you what you need to learn. David says, I rejoice that thy word is one that findeth great spoil. All of us have found the nuggets. All of us have found those things that God showed us, and that is wonderful. But have you opened your eyes to see what the Lord is trying to do? You know, there's some things that you're only going to learn by the Lord teaching you. There's individual lessons that are necessary that come as a result of the Lord just getting in close and him teaching you something because he wants to use it to minister to someone else. It took me a long time as a pastor to understand that I am a minister, I am a servant, and a servant gets no recognition. 25 years it took for me to learn that. You say, you're hard-headed. Yes, sir. There's some things you just can only learn by going through it. You see, we get put in a place as preachers where sometimes we're put on a pedestal, we're put in a position where automatically there is a lot of glory and there's a lot of recognition that goes with that. And then sometimes there is none. And the Lord says, you don't get it, but I'm going to give it to him. Now, I'm flesh just as much as anybody. I want it because he got it. I get calls. I don't like talking to preachers sometimes. I get calls from preachers and they're telling me about the church they go to. And, oh, our preacher just celebrated his 20th anniversary. We sent him on a cruise. And while he has been on the cruise, we remodeled his kitchen. And I don't want to hear that stuff. Because I'm flesh. Because I'm saying, what about me? Because I get like Elijah. I'm the only one left. I'm the only one. So you know what the Lord has to do? He has to reach down and he has to afflict a little bit more. And he has to touch us a little bit more. I think about the Apostle Paul, and there in Acts chapter 19, we read about his conversion, and we read that the Lord says that he is going to suffer many things for my name's sake. And you read through the book of Acts, and the man suffers. You say, what did he have to learn? It took till 2 Corinthians chapter 12 for him to learn that my grace is sufficient for thee. We need to learn some things from this book. We know the verses. It's not that you can't find them. It's not that you've not read them. It's not that you've not memorized it or meditated on it. You haven't learned it to apply it. And there are some things as a believer you need to understand that we are just going to have to suffer. And we are going to have to struggle. I remember many years ago, and it's been quite a long time, and I'll use my boy as an illustration. As this book, and you study this book, and you read this book, and you preach this book, and as a preacher, it has to be real to you. Because if it's not real to you, why is it going to be real to anybody else? So sometimes as preachers, the Lord allows us to go through things so that he can use us as an example to show our congregations that there is a man and a woman that are going through some things just like you do, and they don't quit. And well, they quit, but you just don't know about it. And they don't stop serving the Lord, and they don't get to a place where they don't, I've done this for so long, I'm going to quit, you know. Let's pass it on to the next person. And the Lord takes that man and takes his wife oftentimes and puts him there so that he can show you something. But he also does it to show them that this book is real. I remember back in 2000, get the years right. We have three daughters. I always say I have four daughters. I only have three daughters. I have three daughters, one son. I had three daughters, and I love my girls. My girls are daddy's girls. Love them to death. Even to this day, my girls, I love my girls, and they're all older and all married and whatnot. But you want a son, so we're expecting. We go to the doctor. They're going to do the ultrasound, and it's a girl. Oh, my heart sunk. I don't want another girl. I want a boy. I want a boy so he can go hunting with me and fishing with me, so he can mow the lawn. So he can get on the ladder and clean the gutters. Let's just be honest. That's why you want sons. You want sons because you need help. So we're in there, and it's a girl, and you know, I resigned to the fact, okay, it's a girl. I've got experience with three girls. We'll live with three girls. Praise the Lord. Going for the second ultrasound, and they're doing the ultrasound. They say, wait a minute, there's a problem. It's not a girl. It's a boy. So it's not a problem. They said, that's not the problem. He has spina bifida. My wife is 20 weeks pregnant, and the lesion is so bad on my boy's back, the opening where it didn't grow together, it's very visible, and we are in a very difficult situation because at this point, again, now we know we're going to have, if we're able to make it through this pregnancy, we're going to have a handicapped child, and not only will this child be handicapped, but chances are he will be mentally retarded. So we've been placed with this. So the Lord worked some things out amazingly. We didn't have the normal doctor we did. We were at a midwife. This midwife knew this doctor over in Saginaw. They sent us down to Saginaw. They do the ultrasound. They say, yep, this is the condition. It is spina bifida with hydrocephalus. You have three options. You have option number one, abortion. Well, we're not going to do option number one. So what's option number two? Option number two is to carry the child to full term, and we'll probably induce early, and you know, hopefully we'll be able to, you know, stop any more brain damage and things by, you know, bringing him out early. But you have to understand, his spinal cord is outside of his body, not inside. Everything's. And they said the third thing is there is an experimental surgery in Philadelphia, and if you meet all the criteria, meaning my wife then and my boy, then they can do this surgery where they will open up the womb, take your boy out. They will try to put this fake skin, that's what I describe it as, to seal it up, push him back in there. Your wife stays on bed rest in Philadelphia in the Ronald McDonald House, and you can't bring your children, your three daughters. You have to stay home. Oh, how do you? Because I can't be there. So we go out, and there's all these things, and of course they have to make sure he doesn't have Down syndrome, no mental retardation. He can't have club feet. I mean, they're going through everything. We had ultrasound after ultrasound after ultrasound. They do all the things. They say he is a candidate. We can do the surgery. I think he was like 38, 39 in all of the ones that had been done at that time. So we pray about it, and the Lord opens the door, and here's all part of this, is that for years I worked full-time, and just 2 years prior, the Lord had worked it up. We got all our bills paid off. I was able to quit my job, pastor, full-time with a small income, but enough to make our bills. Everything's good, and I'm not working now. Because what's this going to entail is this. Here's this learning thing. The Lord didn't let me quit my job there so that I could just be full-time pastor, but he knew 2 years down the road, I am going to have my wife in Philadelphia and my three daughters and myself in Michigan, and I'm going to have to find help. You know how hard it is to find help? Find somebody to sit for 2 weeks with a woman in another state and take her to the hospital every day and do all that. And the Lord opened all that up for this point to teach us something. When I think about the peace that passeth all understanding, I'm going to tell you this, and I am as honest and sincere with you as I can be. I can't speak as much for my wife, but I can tell you how she has been through this whole thing. We never cracked. We didn't know what was even going to happen. We didn't know even through the surgery how it was going to turn out. We go in for the surgery. It was much worse than what they thought. They did the surgery. She stayed in Philadelphia. I traveled back and forth. I'm taking care of three girls. What a disaster. It was summertime. My youngest daughter for the summer wore snow boots because I couldn't get her to wear shoes. So she wore snow boots, trying to brush hair. You know, listen, man, have you brushed your daughter's hair today? What a disaster. I had to cut one daughter's hair off to her shoulders because it all got gnarled. And I didn't know you had to make sure you get all that. I'm a man. I had hair. I don't anymore. I don't worry about it. But the Lord is teaching some things, and he's putting us through some things. And what he's doing is he's teaching me some things about him that I didn't get otherwise. And one of the things that I prayed through all of this wasn't just for my wife's safety. It wasn't just for my son's health. But one of the things that I didn't want for him, if he were to get through these things and be able to, you know, live a normal life, and we don't know what normal is in 2001. I said, Lord, don't make him bitter. Don't make him angry. Let him have a good spirit. Now, if anybody knows my son, they know that he is the sweetest spirit. Amen. He has the best attitude. I've never heard, now maybe he has said to somebody else, I've never heard him complain about not going out, running outside and playing with the other kids. I've never heard him complain about not doing what everybody else could do. Well, he works today. He has his own vehicle. Doesn't have to have I don't drive with him. See, all the surgeries and everything, his feet don't go like this. Like, you know, he can move around with his arm crutches, but his feet are this way. So when you ride with him, it's like a roller coaster. But what it is was a lesson for me. I learned what God can do. I don't doubt him about things. I figure if the Lord can show me something like that, certainly he can use that as a testimony somewhere down the road. Say, what's the point? When you learn something from the book, what you're doing is you are acknowledging that the Bible is true. Amen. This book isn't just things that we say you should do and you shouldn't do. It is the peace of God that passeth all understanding. When this book says that God is going to give you comfort so that you can comfort someone else, that's true. But also when this book says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's true too. You have to understand that the things of God that we learn aren't just for our comfort or for our growth. They are for our warnings. Because this book is true. And I can say just from my own life, and many of you can too, that we know that the things the Lord is trying to teach us has a purpose. And the purpose is not just to bring some character out of us that we need. But a lot of the times it's just meant to protect us. This book is an amazing book. It's meant, its main purpose, as I look at it after salvation, is to really keep me from involving myself in things that are going to hurt me. As older men, older women, you understand, we try to instruct that to our young people. We try to give that to them. But you know, ultimately, they're going to have to learn this book on their own. But if we don't set the example that we've learned it, why would they ever learn it? I remember when I got called to preach and went down to PBI, and I left Michigan, and I didn't have anything to leave. There was nothing. It's not like I left anything. I was 19 years old, didn't have anything, no house, no nothing. I'm living with my parents. I leave with no money, just $500, get down there and watch the Lord open up doors to get a house, to get a job, to do all these things. And what I didn't realize then is the Lord is teaching me His word about how I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, and how Christ can meet your needs, and all those things we learn. I start seeing those things, and then the Lord takes me and puts me in this little church that struggles financially and has had preacher after preacher and split after split. And what I learned in those formidable years, I begin to see the Lord start to manifest itself in the ministry. The ministry isn't all this. This isn't the ministry. Would to God it would be for all of us, but it would ruin most of us. You understand, you young men, this would ruin you if God gave it to you. There'll be a time when the Lord opens those doors, but the point is you need to learn some things about how God operates, how God deals with things. You have to get into it more than just memorizing the scripture, starting to understand that God's word is to teach me His ways so that I can live for Him the way He wants me to live. And God's intention for you might just be you sitting somewhere on the backside of nowhere, abiding by the stuff, and you may never be a preacher. And you may never be the deacon. And as the brother said, you might just be the enlisted individual that's there helping. And you know what? You should be pleased. Because if you're the man sitting by the stuff or the woman sitting by the stuff with her husband, you're going to get the same reward as the guy that goes out and fights the battle. But it's hard to learn that. How many young men couldn't learn to sit because they thought they had all this knowledge and they didn't learn what the Lord would have them to learn? Look over to Psalm 119 again. Look at verse 71. I need to wrap this up here. If he overcooks the chicken, I don't want to be blamed for the bad, chicken being, that chicken from North Michigan, it's dry, so we don't need that. Notice what he says there, it's good, Psalm 119, 71. It's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. You realize that you cannot learn God's word unless you go through some things. And nobody likes to go through some things. You students know that if there were no tests, you would not study. Amen? You'd go through, you would do the work, but you know what? The fact of the matter is, what brings it out is a test. And the application that comes at some other time. And I'm here to tell you, young people, you're going to have some afflictions. And there's going to be some things you're going to have to go through, and you better just understand that the same God of the Bible that divides the Red Sea will be the God of the Bible that comforts you when you lose a child, or gives you a handicapped child, or you lose a spouse, or you lose a job. We don't know all the things that the Lord allows us to go through, but I do know this, is that we are the examples to the lost. And a lot of times we do a poor job showing them what our God can do. You see, as we go through affliction, those things are meant to teach us what the Lord wants. And again, the power of this book is so wonderful that if we don't go through it, it will never mean what it should mean. How many times have we quoted Romans 8:28? And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We love that verse, but you realize that there's a part of that verse that conditions why all things that work out good are. To them that love God. And the reason why some of you can't handle the things that you've gone through and you've crumbled is because your love for God is not what it should be. And the Lord wants you to learn to love him when he is good to you and when he does not talk to you, or he puts you through the fire, or he takes something away from you. Is your love only conditioned on for the Lord when things are good? Then you didn't learn anything. You see, the whole thing about this book is that it changes us when it comes to learning. It changes our direction. It changes our dispositions. But you know what it does? It'll change your desires. You know, the closer you get to the Lord Jesus Christ and the more you learn of this book, you're going to find that the things that you once thought were important are not important anymore. The most important thing is Jesus Christ getting the glory in you by him touching you and him taking something from you and him working on you for the distinct purpose so you can learn something. It'll take time. Some of you will learn things sooner than later. Some of you are going to go through some things early on in the ministry, early on in your Christian life, to prepare you for things that are ahead. And it might not even be in your life. It might be in your children's lives. And there are things that you're going to have to, you need to get it. And praise God to memorize, and praise God to quote it, and praise God to read it. Don't stop. But you need to know what it means when it says, I can do all things. It's not about building a big church. It means, you know what, I can get through this situation because God's grace is sufficient. And he has taught me that regardless of what the world thinks and what's going on in my family or my children's lives or anything else, I know that these things are for my good. And my Father would not leave me comfortless. What have you learned, preacher?